guys, thanks for joining Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Guys, I don't know if you realize this, but we are at episode number 200. Oh my God. 200 episodes. 200 fucking episodes of the show. I talked to so many people for so many hours, and this is insane. I cannot believe we're at 200 episodes. It took a long time. I mean, there's been a lot of hiatuses and a lot of craziness going on, but there have now been 200 episodes of the show. If you heard that, I just opened a beer because I need to celebrate just briefly. So listen to me drink a beer for a second. Six Point, guys. If you ever want to make me happy, Six Point Sweet Action is the best. Of course, got to say thank you, Lily Brown, Adam Pasolka, Matt Lil, great guests for season three so far. Still have no idea how long season three is going to be. I know that there is going to be more than 200 episodes. There's another one in the pipeline. There's going to be more that I actually have to record before this series is done. So this episode I'm very proud of. That's the easiest way to put it. There's a lot of really cool things in this episode. I recorded this episode. Let me give a little history about this episode before we go deeper. Part of the reason why the show's been on so many hiatuses, like once I hit 100, is because how can I top the way the show really originally was, you know? There's so much fear in my heart and so much fear in my life that it's scary, you know? I mean, I'm 30 years old, struggling actor, I'm very happy with what I'm doing, but not successful in a monetary sense, but successful in an artistic sense, I'd say. It's tough, guys. It's really tough. But I've got a really great support group. That right there can give you a little bit of a hint who the guest is. I'm not even writing down in the episode title who the guest is, because they're that important. I was thinking, like, who can I get? We got a lot of big people. I got Chris Gethard, had Bobby Moynihan for a little bit, had Sasheer Zamata right before she got on SNL, which was incredible. For those that don't know, we couldn't talk about SNL when she did my podcast, because that was about a week before they announced her as possibly on. And, of course, you know, she's been destroying on SNL and had one of my favorite episodes of the whole 200-plus hours of podcasting that I've done. I've had, like, a lot of really cool guests, like, people that make me very happy to know and to talk to, and it's been a huge honor to be able to do the show. I've had a live episode, which I'm very proud of, with Dave Hill. My first big guest, James Adomian, who I got, I think, at number 13, if I'm not mistaken, which that's insane to me, because he's a very funny, very great comedian. He's been destroying it with his improvised debates with other previous guests, Anthony Atamanik as Donald Trump, and James Adomian as Bernie Sanders, and those are very funny videos. If you have a chance to see them do those debates, I highly recommend it. So yeah, I mean, I've been perplexed. How can I make 200 be something meaningful? I was thinking maybe try to get the girls from Broad City. I have now officially met them before, and I still was like, that'd be cool, but they've been busy, and they're hard to reach from someone like me. And then, of course, there was actually a very small Twitter campaign. This is not even a joke. People were trying to get Adam Sandler to be number 200. That would mean a lot to me. It didn't happen. If Adam Sandler ever wants to do the show, I will gladly have him on the show. But yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, there's number 200 is a number to me that was harder to reach than 100. This podcast probably won't hit 300. It might hit 250. I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea how many more I have left in my tank. But these guests are people that I had to have on the show. They're not actors. They're my parents. My parents are guests our episode 200, Barbara and Sanford Levy. I recorded them when I was in Miami, and I'm so deeply honored to have them as my parents. Like, you guys have no idea like how much of a burden it is to be an actor in the city sometimes, and to live 1,000+ miles away from the family, but I have a really strong support system. And I'm very, very fortunate, and I'm very, very happy. So yeah, I had to talk to the fans of the podcast since day one. My biggest fans. Sometimes I feel like my only fans in the world, which is cool. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like this is like a weird humble braggy thing and stuff like that. But like, this is episode 200, and they agreed to do it like for like a bonus episode. But I'm like halfway through the episode, you'll understand. There was no other choice but my parents for this episode. Yeah, I love you guys so much, and I'm very, very excited for the world to hear you guys be yourselves and me have a conversation with you guys on audio. I know they're listening right now. They listen every episode. Even when we would say twice a week, they would still make time. They got into podcasting to a certain extent because of me. They're just like the best. They are the best. There's no other word for it. I'm very honored to have a very strong support system from like them. I still need to do a review today, which might be a little bit hard because I've been fortunately very busy with a lot of good personal stuff recently, which I am not really at liberty to talk about. But this might be very dated shortly after the episode. For lack of a better word, I saw Transformers 2. You might be wondering, why would I see Transformers 2? If you guys know me, you know that I do not like Transformers 2, but I do like number 1, and I'm okay with number 3. Basically, alright, so how can I explain this? I didn't see Transformers 2 in a normal situation. I saw it actually this past Wednesday morning, which would be November 11th. Yeah, November 11th at about 7 a.m. at the Angelica Theater. I saw it as part of Shia LaBeouf's hashtag all my movies. Now, if you don't know about this whole thing, Shia LaBeouf, the actor, has been delving into interesting performance art, where this time he decided to watch all of his movies, all 29 movies in a row in reverse chronology, from Man Down to Breakfast with Einstein, I think it was called, which I never even heard of. And yeah, I heard about this. I had to go. After my episode 5 of Seamless, which you can see it all on YouTube, which is taped live at 10 weeks of show. Fun fact, this week we go fucking crazier than last week. So if you've been following along my YouTube page, there's more reason to, because we actually double our cast size this week. That doesn't matter. Yeah, my friend Corey Willis, my dear, dear friend Corey Willis, and I were at Pioneers, and I'm like, dude, we have to go to hashtag all my movies. Like, how cool it'd be to experience a person going through this and to be there and see it. And he's like, yeah, we have to go. And we did. We got there about 12:15. The line was pretty fucking long. There was no wait time because once you're inside the theater, you can be in there until the performance ends, 29 movies later, or whatever. And basically, yeah, so we're like, you know what? Let's wait. Maybe we'll get it for Transformers 3. Nope, we didn't get it for Transformers 3. Okay, maybe we'll get it sometime during Wall Street 2. Nope. All right. We're now near the front line. This is 7 hours later, guys. This is almost 7 hours later. We are standing there, and we're like, holy shit, we're actually going to go inside. We go inside. And it's like the opening scene of my least favorite Shia LaBeouf film. An actor who I actually have no real issue with. And I see the camera, I see him. It was live streaming the whole time. I'm sure you've seen photos of him laughing, crying, looking depressed, maybe even sleeping in the back. What was interesting for me, though, is, I mean, if you know about him, he hates Transformers 2 and 3 and probably 1. Although a lot of people like 1. 1's a really good movie, in my personal opinion. That doesn't matter. I saw the one that's definitely the shittiest one. So I walk in. We sit down initially, like, right in front. I'm like, no, dude, let's not be this close to the theater, to the front. Let's just, there's some better seats. We'll be able to experience him watching it, too, if we want. Which, honestly, I did want to see. We move. I'm so tired at this point, because I worked for, like, 8 hours, then performed, then waited for 7 hours. And I was, you know, I was pretty tired. I've been very tired recently for a good reason, which is totally fine. So yeah, I'm gonna give myself like 30 minutes to watch the movie and then like go home. I'm watching the movie, watching him. He's looking bored and tired. I'm like struggling to stay awake because this movie is rough and so racist. He eventually goes to the back of the theater, lies down. And I'm continuing watching the movie. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. Like, how I needed out of this experience. I was able to, see what was happening and be there and understand everything about it. And I'm very happy about that. I think Shia LaBeouf might have redeemed himself a little bit with this whole stuff this past week. I hope he did. I think he's a really interesting actor and a really interesting person. Kind of a douchebag, but I've never really hated the guy. Nor do I now after the fact that he definitely loves Even Stevens' movie, which makes me very happy, and Surf's Up, which is arguably my favorite movie of his. I can't really say, like, see it for hashtag all my movies, but read up about it. It hits the mark very solidly. The waiting experience was fucking insane, and Corey Wilson and I are going to probably do something involving what we experienced during that. We don't know yet, but we are figuring this out. But guys, I'm so happy. Thank you guys for helping me get through all these episodes. Thank you, Daryl Haynes, for being the first guest. Thank you, Ryan Williams, for being the first house team performer at UCB to do the show. Thank you, James Doman, for being the first actual celebrity to do the show. Thank you, Jeremy Ween, for letting the show be in New York Podfest in 2014. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, UK. Thank you, Wichita. Please, someone from Wichita or the UK, please message me, hchampod@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys. It means so much for me. But if not, I understand, so don't worry about that. Thank you all the supporters from around the world. I mean, part of the reason the show came back is because of you guys. Part of the reason the show is not going away right now is also part of you guys, because of you guys too, because there's been so much support from like 4 different continents, and that's insane to me because I'm nobody. And most of all, thank you, Mom and Dad. I wouldn't be able to get through anything this year or any time without you guys. I know that sounds bleak, guys, but it's been a very, very rough year. A good year. A very good year, but there has been some insane rough stuff. And it's nice to have a really strong support system. And you guys are going to be able to hear it. And so, enjoy. Hit the mark. Hit the mark. Hey, guys. guys. This is going to be a fun one. So I'm here in Miami, Florida. I kind of snuck this on my parents. They did not know this was happening. But I feel like people have heard about me talk to my parents a lot on this podcast. So my dad is shaking his head. Guys. My mom, Barbara, says hi. My dad, Sandy, says, mumble? Dad, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Are you mad that I'm doing this?
No.
Okay, are you mad I'm doing this, Mom? No. All right, so I wanted to have you guys on the podcast because I talk about you guys so much. And I think it'd be really fun for people to hear the family dynamic, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we have a good family dynamic. My mom is right laughing. This is very cliche what's going to happen. At the rate this is going, it's going to be episode 200, by the way.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It might. I don't know. How are you guys enjoying the day so far?
It's pretty good if you like liquid sunshine.
Yeah, it's, as you guys know, we're in the Sunshine State of Miami, Florida, and it is pure rain outside.
It's okay. We expected rain even yesterday. We didn't get much yesterday, so they're making them for today, but that's fine. We're here with you, and that's the most
important thing. Yeah, aw, thanks. Well, hi, Mom. How's your day been?
My day, I went out to get the paper.
Yeah.
So you could get the weekend section, and it was sopping wet. So I went and put it out on the patio.
Yeah.
And
now it's just
waiting for it to dry. And it's not working.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, literally the whole patio is wet, too, it looks like. But, you know, it's all good. I like to always ask, as you know, what's your big comedy inspiration? Because you guys are, because like, people know that, like, I've got, like, old school comedy lovers, because, I mean, my parents are my parents, and they've always loved comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's hard to, you know, that's a hard question to answer. There have been so many. You're talking about more recent?
Let's say, growing up.
Oh, gosh.
Abbott and Costello
is a good one.
I really liked, I like the Three Stooges.
Yeah.
I happen to be really into physical comedy. I know you're not as much, but
I like it.
I love physical comedy. And I mean, you give me a pie in the face, as long as it's not on me, and it's really it's really funny.
Dad, you're like retreating into yourself. It's really, I feel so awkward that I gave you guys 2 minutes of notice about this.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's probably better that way, because I'd be thinking about what I was going to say. Maybe that wouldn't be so good. I know you like to make it spontaneous, like a conversation, and that's what it is.
This is a conversation.
I know. Well, good.
But, like, your mom was like, Abbott and Costello was your big thing growing up?
And then there was, when I was younger, Fat and Skinny.
Fat and Skinny? I never heard of Fat and Skinny.
Is that, like, another name for, like, Abbott and Costello?
I don't know.
Or is that, like, some weird Catskill comedians that, like, stopped?
I really don't. When I was younger, we used to watch Fat and Skinny.
Okay.
And just daily life can be very funny.
Right. I mean, like, so those that don't know, my parents are both born in Brooklyn. My dad moved away there when he was 3 or 4.
About 3, I think.
And my mom moved away when she was 17. And my dad moved to Massachusetts and, like, all over.
Jersey? I was in Jersey. You're from Jersey?
What part of Jersey were you, though?
Englewood.
Is it, like, the really unsafe part now?
I don't know.
And what part of Jersey is that, though? Like, north,
I
south?
I don't know. I really don't know. I was a little kid.
How long were you there for?
Maybe about 2 or 3 years.
But so it was, like, from, like, 4 to, like, 6.
Something like that. Yeah, well, who remembers from 6 years old at this point, you know, whether it was a safe part of Jersey? I do know one thing, though.
Yeah.
There's a singing group called the Ames Brothers, which you probably don't know because you're too young, but they were real popular back then.
Okay.
And they lived in the same apartment building where we lived, and we could hear them singing. They were like 2 or 3 doors down. We could hear them practicing.
Were they really famous?
They were real famous. They were, like, on Ed Sullivan and shows like that.
Cool.
You could Google the Ames Brothers. I don't know if they're still alive or not, but they were pretty famous at the time. And they used to rehearse there. We used to hear them all the time.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... I feel like I hear that all the time, though, like, in New York, like, I always hear people singing in, like, in the courtyard, like, across, like, from, like, other buildings.
Yeah.
Well, and stuff like that.
Better singing than some of the others, than screaming and all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather not hear people fight. I'm not a big fan of, like, real violence. Like, violence on screen I'm okay with, but not, like...
Right, not for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then when I was growing up, when I was younger, when President Kennedy was running for election...
Yeah.
He came He came right into my neighborhood. It was on Bay Parkway and 86th Street.
My mom just straight up gave her old address, basically.
I lived a few blocks away. And it was so mobbed. I remember he and Jacqueline were in a Cadillac. And he was standing up waving to everyone. It was just so exciting. I was in elementary school.
I've never seen a president in real life or... Yeah.
I photographed a few.
Right. I know you photographed Nixon, right?
I photographed Nixon. I photographed Vice President Hubert Humphrey. I'm trying to think who else right now. And I think that's actually all I photographed that I can recall.
And, like, you have a really great photo of Nixon in your office, too.
Yeah, it's like holding up the three fingers like a Girl Scout pledge or something. Yeah, he says, I will not tell a lie or something. Well, the Democratic Convention was held in Miami Beach. I think it was around 1969, 70, or 71.
Was that the Convention Center?
Yeah. It was held at the Miami Beach Convention Center, and I was working as a photojournalist for a newspaper at the time, so I had the assignment to photograph there. So I got to photograph Nixon. That was kind of a nice job, to tell you the truth, just to get off on a tangent, because...
Yeah, let's get tangents.
The newspaper was really cool. Because, you know, it was an entertainment-based newspaper, so I got to photograph all the celebrities. I photographed Hugh Hefner and Barbie Benton on their private plane. I photographed many, many movie stars. Jackie Gleason on the set working on,
Like Honeymooners?
What?
Like Honeymooners? Or
wasn't the Honeymoon. No, this is on a movie.
Okay.
On a movie set. Yeah, it was Take the Money and Run, I think. I'm not sure if that was that movie or not. But whatever, you know, and there's just numbers of them. You know, I've got some pictures in my archives of some of these people, and it's pretty cool when you look back. And, you know, I got pictures of Walter Cronkite when he was speaking down here, and I don't know. There are dozens and dozens of personalities that I photographed.
Well,
and by the way, I got to tell you, I photographed Anne Margaret with Roger Smith.
Sweet.
And this was before her accident. You recall she fell off the stage
years ago,
and she was never quite the same. But she was absolutely, in my mind, the most beautiful woman I ever saw in my life.
How do you feel about that, Long Tail?
You didn't let me finish until I met my wife. But she was really very beautiful at the time. Anyway, that's a little bit of an aside. But the newspaper job was cool. And, you know, it was kind of a, since it was an entertainment paper, it was kind of like a 9-to-5 job. So, you know, I didn't have to worry about too many after-hours assignments. Maybe a little high school football once in a while, but that was about it.
Wait, did you play?
No, I photographed.
Okay, I'm like, because, yeah, I've seen photos of you when you were in high school. You were, like, scrawny.
I was scrawny. I was in the radio club. Are you kidding me? I was, the other jocks were, you know, hanging out with the cheerleaders, and I was hanging out with the dudes and with the nerds, I should say, in the radio club.
Mom, what were you like in high school? Okay.
She was very smart.
Right. Yeah.
She was smart.
Yeah. So, I want to add, because, like, I love the story of how you guys met.
Oh,
do you
want to
share it?
It's kind of a long, involved story. I don't know how many hours we got here.
But, well, we're like 8 minutes into the episode,
okay,
so.
Tell about Steve.
Well, okay, let's put it this way. A friend of mine was dating Barbara, and he kind of wanted to dump her. And he tried to palm her off on me. And he was going to go ahead and introduce her to me. And I said, fine, I'll meet her, you know. And so he invited her over to play backgammon. This was in the early 1970s, around 74, I think it was. And back then, backgammon was a really, really big deal. So, you know, and I played backgammon. So I went over to their house, and or his house, and met her over there. And we set up a backgammon game. Well, little be it known to me, she did not know how to play backgammon.
No one knows how to play backgammon, really.
I can't remember.
I've never played in my life.
I know the sport. I know the, I guess, game or sport. I don't even know if it's a game or a sport.
It's a game.
Okay.
It's a game. Well, anyway, I was pretty good at it.
You were fantastic at it.
I was good at it. And I couldn't play today. If you paid me $1,000, I wouldn't know how to play today. But anyway.
Guys, that means if to find Stanley, pay him $1,000, just be like, hey, play backgammon. And he's going to be like, amazing. It's all in the bones.
He's a champ playing with someone who never saw the game before, who never, you know, saw it set up, didn't know at all how to play.
Well, let me tell you. So she's playing backgammon. Imagine trying to play, let's say, chess with somebody, or even checkers, with somebody who has no idea how to play the game. I mean, they made moves that were not legal. They had no idea what they were doing. It was extremely frustrating to me. And it didn't last too long. And then she comes up to me, she says, so what's wrong? And I said, nothing. Oh, come on, talk about it, you'll feel better. Did I really want to tell her that I thought this was idiotic, what was going on here? But I kept my mouth shut. And, you know, I told my friend, his name was Steve, I told him that I really was not interested in her. Well, the story gets a little more interesting because around that time I'd been in a car accident. And I was injured and I was going to a doctor for treatment. And the girl that was in charge of putting the heat packs on and the ultrasound treatments and all that kind of stuff, whatever they do, started talking to me. We, you know, you're there for a couple of times a week for an hour at a time. You, right. You start to talk. Yeah. And so we started talking. She's telling me about, I told her what happened. And she's telling me about this girl, friend of hers named Barbara. Well, P.S., it turns out we're talking about the same person, just coincidentally. And she says, Barbara's really a nice person. She's got a lot of love to give. I remember those were her words.
And, she's the best.
And she said, you need to give her, you really need to give her another chance. And so I wasn't so sure about it, but...
I was.
Barbara was sure about it. I think we're boring your listeners.
No, actually, I think this is a really cool story, honestly.
Well,
if it didn't happen, you wouldn't be right.
That's true. Well, I agree.
That's true. Well, anyway, I had no interest in her. And however, I had a friend of mine who shall remain nameless. Let's call him John. That okay. wasn't his name, but we'll call him John. And John couldn't get a date on a bet. He had a lot of problems getting dates with women. And but he, naturally, he would be interested in Barbara if she was very pretty and very desirable looking. And so he also knew this guy that was trying to dump her. So he made a deal. He had one of the very first cordless phones when they first came out. This was like in early 1970s. They,
right.
weren't, they weren't like they are today. They were expensive. They were over $600 back then. It was a huge phone. But it was a cordless phone you take around your house. And he made a deal with the guy that was dating Barbara. If you fix me up with Barbara, I'll let you borrow my phone for a month. Well, my friend...
Wait, the phone was a better deal than I was.
Well, I don't know. I don't say think that. So. I don't think so. Anyway, what happened was he made a party, and he invited Barbara, and he invited me, and he invited my friend, quote-unquote, John, and you know, a few other people that we all knew, and we had this party. And here comes John with his phone. He comes in there, and meantime, he gets introduced, you know, to Barbara by her boyfriend, quote-unquote boyfriend. And the whole night, Barbara was trying to get close to me. I kept walking around, sitting down in different places. She's sitting next to me. And John is running after Barbara, and he pulls me aside and says, he says, you know, you don't want her, right? I said, no, I'm not interested. He said, well, why are you with her? I said, she keeps following me around. And she just wouldn't, you know, she had no interest in this other guy, of course. Well, the story gets a little more interesting because I wasn't interested, but this guy took her out. I managed to take her out on a date somehow. They went to see the movie Mahogany, right? They went to see Mahogany. That tells you about when that was, when that movie was popular.
It's a movie like I only remember even hearing about. And I'm a big movie nerd. Do you guys know
well,
that?
Well, that's with Diana Ross. And it was
oh, wait, never mind. Yeah.
It would be the early 70s. I'm guessing around 73 or 74.
Right.
Anyway, that was the only date they went on. And the entire time... Oh, so what happened was he calls me up. No, he started telling lies to her about me, stating I didn't go to the party with my girlfriend because my girlfriend was on a flight. She was a stewardess for National Airlines.
What an asshole.
I know. He's telling lies. And I was kind of upset about it. But, what was I going to do about it? Well... He kept on telling more and more lies, and he's telling this to the guy that Barbara had been dating, and he's my friend. He's telling me.
Oh, the girl.
And I finally got.
Rubbed your back.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't her. He was telling your boyfriend. Anyway, bottom line is this: I decided I was interested in Barbara somehow. It just and I promised my friend, the one that was going to be dating her in exchange for a telephone, that I was not going to bother with her. But I changed my mind because he was telling all these lies about me. And I called him up one day. I said, John, all bets are off. Okay? Every man for himself. And to be honest with you, I've never talked to that guy since. Not once. And that's been about 38 years, I think. So anyway, and we started dating. And a year later, we got engaged.
One day less than a year.
Barbara knows.
Wow, you guys got engaged fast.
A year.
One
is that fast?
I mean, I feel like that's fast to me. But I mean...
We
stayed engaged for a while, too, though. We weren't. We didn't
oh, right, because this is yeah, cause you guys got married late 70s.
Yes, like, 78.
Yeah.
So we We were engaged for quite a while. We didn't set the date right away. We just decided we wanted to marry each other, so we got engaged, and then we, you know, we were.
How'd you propose? I never asked this question before.
Oh.
How'd I propose?
Yeah.
Barbara will tell you the answer to that.
No, you can tell, but I wanted it done.
I've really never heard this story before, so I'm like really, really excited about this.
I wanted it done in a different kind of way. I didn't want him just
to be like, hey, marry me, yeah.
So I said, surprise me. So I went over to his parents' house for dinner, and I go and I sit down, and my grapefruit spoon, we had a grapefruit there.
And oh, I remember this.
The spoon was turned upside down. I didn't think anything of it. Over that soup.
No, it's a grapefruit spoon.
Okay, so I picked it up, and underneath this, when we all sat down, I picked up the grapefruit spoon, to eat, and I thought I saw a diamond there, but I said, no, it can't be. But I took another look, and it was. So all I did was scream.
She screamed and she called her mother.
I ran and called my mother.
Wait, did you even say anything at this point, or was it just like...
No.
So like, wait, everyone was sitting down, mom sits down, she lifts up her spoon, she sees a diamond, she freaks out.
Right.
And like, I mean, obviously,
well, she knew it wasn't left there by the cleaning lady or anything like that. I mean, she figured out what it was. I didn't say, will you marry me? I don't recall saying that. Maybe I did ask.
That's the most casual engagement ever. It's like literally, hopefully she'll see this ring.
What if
grandma and grandpa saw?
They knew about it.
No, I mean, like if they sat that place.
Well, I think they knew that it was there, and they knew what I was doing, so it was all kind of arranged with them.
It's the most casual engagement
ever. My mother was smiling the whole time. She was very happy.
Ear to ear.
Ear to ear grin, and it was really nice. I mean, it was just something different.
Really nice. Never expecting it.
Guys, this is a free podcast, in case you haven't realized it. You just heard two adorable stories for free.
Well, okay, I'm glad that if people are interested, that's fine. I'm happy then.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think you guys told me the engagement story a little while ago, but it's been years since I've heard it.
Probably, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew the original cell phone was involved in the dating story.
I guess so. I had phones in my car.
It was like this big.
Which is about like a foot. And
you got to understand, I had a car phone before they had cell phones.
Right. You've always been like an early adopter of technology.
Early adopter, super nerd. Like I said, I was in the radio club in high school, and I always liked electronics. And, I had a phone in my car back when you had to go through an operator and have her dial the number, and you only one person could talk at a time. So you'd say something and then you'd let go of the button, and then the other person on the other, if you were talking to in a house somewhere would then talk, and then you.
So like a walkie-talkie kind of.
Well, except it was a huge. It wasn't a walkie-talkie. It was like a walkie-talkie, but it was.
Like this picture.
No, no.
It's an audio podcast. It's a little bit bigger than a foot.
This was a trunk unit. It was in the trunk of the car with wires going under the car up to the front with a console in there for the whole thing. And, then it was replaced with a dial unit still before.
Rotary?
It was a rotary dial, yes.
That's hilarious.
A rotary dial in the car. It was the first one. Then I had one that was push button. And after that, cell phones came in and all that stuff kind of went out the window and became a valueless equipment after that. But
yeah.
But I had the early cell phone, the early, they call it the brick. Huge cell phone is about a foot, maybe a foot tall.
A little bigger than the Zach Morris one, if I'm not mistaken.
Which one?
The Zach Morris one from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty big.
Look, because I know the Zach Morris one's an early cell phone, but not like the earliest.
It was pretty big. And then I had another one after that I could, went in the car and you had a battery pack, that huge battery pack. You put this thing over your
shoulder. I remember that as a little kid. No, wait, how old?
I don't know. I don't know when it was, but it was huge.
I wasn't even
anything at that point.
Probably not. It went over your shoulder. The thing must have weighed about 6-7 pounds. And it had a big battery in it. And it was like a big briefcase you had to carry around. It was, it's crazy. But anyway, what can I tell you? Yeah, I've been an early adopter.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's awesome.
Anyone wants any old
technology, they all have it here at the Levy Museum in Pinecrest.
Oh, this is the Museum of Recently Obsolete Technology, somebody called it. It's, you name it, we got it. You want old Mac computers, we got them.
Because were you guys really adopters like Macintosh or something like that?
We were. Actually, I was in computers before Macintosh. There was
I knew that, yeah.
It was called a Commodore Amiga.
Right, I've heard
and,
that.
That was like a very early home computer, and a Commodore 64 and a Commodore 128, and back then, I hate to tell you what those things cost, but you know, you spend close to $4,000 for a computer back then with a floppy drive in it, and there was no such thing as hard drives. I mean, we can go on and on about that stuff.
Mom, how do you feel about all that stuff?
I really wasn't. I just watched him. I wasn't really into it.
She still isn't.
I know. I mean, she does have an iPad now.
She has an iPad.
And an iPhone.
That's true.
Because you guys are big Apple people.
We like it. I got both. I'm not going to diss PCs either, but you know, I think each one has its own purpose. I happen to like the integration between Apple products. I just got an Apple Watch.
Yeah, you're like obsessed with that.
It's nice.
We went to see The Martian last night, and like twice in the movie, it tells you to stand up.
Well, I've got an exercise program. You're not supposed to sit too long, so it tells you when to stand up and walk around for a minute. It doesn't make any noise. It just lights up and tells you to
stand up. Does it like vibrate?
It vibrates. It vibrates.
Okay, because I'm like, otherwise, like, it's just a light that pops up.
And by the way, The Martian was good.
I know it was good.
And thank you for taking us, because I probably never would have seen it.
Yeah, and I would have been raving about it to you guys for ages. And I've been raving to you about that book since January.
Well, whenever you recommend a movie, I don't think we've ever been disappointed, to be quite honest with you.
Well, you know, I do the best I can.
Well, that's your thing.
We've never been disappointed.
Oh, that's a lie. Really?
In a movie? I don't think so.
Oh, Mom just said we never disappointed.
No, no. In anything you recommended.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Including yourself.
Bah. You're making me blush. I'm trying to think about, like, weird question. Because, like, Star Wars, like, Episode 7's coming out. Did you guys see the first Star Wars in the movie theaters?
No.
Because I know that you're, like, personally, I know you're not the biggest Star Wars person.
I'm not really into it, and I don't know why I'm not, but I'm just never really got into it. You know, I was not in Star Wars, nor was I ever that interested in Star Trek.
I know you were big on Star Trek, though.
So with
Dr. Spock and all that stuff. Yeah.
I was told Mr. Spock. That I looked like Spock when I was younger, because I had a Spock hairstyle.
And your ears, right?
And my ears, I guess, they were sort of pointed looking, and this guy in it.
This
guy used to call me Spock.
That's so weird to be called Spock.
I was 14 years old.
That's appropriate for that time period. Okay. So, how fast was I born?
You were born within an hour.
Yeah. It's so weird talking about me now. Like, I don't like talking about me in this podcast like that. But
well, I can tell you one thing. After you were born, you know what your mother said?
I know,
what
she said.
She said, did I miss dinner?
I was born at 6:01 p.m. on August 20th, 1985.
That's right, 6:01 p.m. And it was about an hour, less than an hour. And she just wanted to know if she missed dinner.
So I ate in the recovery room.
What did you eat? I know you were.
It was a roast beef sandwich.
They brought her a sandwich or something. I didn't want to look at
it. With a roast beef sandwich.
I love how like she's like holding me for 1 second. She's like, "Where's my dinner?"
No, she was thrilled. She was absolutely thrilled that you. Are you kidding me? There's no other excitement in either one of our lives that was bigger than having you born. Believe me.
Oh God, now I'm blushing again. This is so awkward.
Well, it's true. And then okay. Most parents would say
you
that.
You were
about
born
you.
Within an hour. You ripped my whole body, but I loved it anyway.
Okay, well, you're the best thing that happened to both of us.
Right.
Okay, well, I try. You guys are the best thing that's happened to me, you know?
Okay, well, then we're in the Mutual Admiration Society.
Yeah, like if it wasn't for you guys, I don't think I'd have... I mean, I don't know what I would do without supportive parents like you guys.
Well, after my roast beef sandwich, I went up to the room and I wanted my whole dinner. I only had a sandwich down
there. Mom's like, I've just been eating for two for 9 months.
Let's put it this way. Your mother, and maybe you know this, your mother personally, single-handedly, put out three all-you-can-eat places because of the way she likes to eat. They put her.
She's also tiny, guys. She's a small lady. She has a good metabolism still.
Really good appetite. And, you know, we used to joke that they keep the card counters out of the casinos in Vegas. Well, we always joked that they had a picture of her at the register at these places so that she wouldn't be able to go to the all-you-can-eat place.
What were these all-you-can-eat places that she closed?
Well, she closed Sweden House down here, which was a really great place. And people are still upset with her about that one.
Really?
Yeah. And then there's a place called the Dollar Horse.
The Dollar Horse?
The E-O-L-L-A, or A-H, I think it was. It's a Swedish word meaning nothing to do with a dollar, but that was the name of it. And there was one called the Painted Horse. And two, I don't know if they were two brothers, or two guys owned the owned one of them, and then they had a fight, and one of them broke off from the other and started his own place. So they had two of them. They were both 99 cents all you can eat.
So did, like, was there any actual confirmation mom actually closed these places down? Or?
No, but it's a story. It's just an urban legend.
It's funny.
It's an urban legend.
Did you guys go there like every day of the week, pretty much?
No, but we went there often enough.
I wasn't even married to you.
Barbie used to go there, yeah. She went there really before we were married.
You went to like a place by yourself?
No, with my family.
With her family.
Oh, okay. Like, oh, Jesus, so sad.
You know where it was?
No.
The Sweden house was on US 1 what's that place?
It's where Fuddruckers is now in there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So not far away from here at all.
No, but we
far.
Didn't live here. We lived over right, we, west.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh,
that's cool.
Nice.
We are really enjoying this trip. I got to tell you that down here, uh-huh. We hadn't seen you. I don't know if your listeners know this, but we hadn't actually seen you in person in 2.5 years since you acted down here.
In Bochess.
The Broward Stage Store. Which was really a great. We got to see most of those performances. That was really
you did
great.
See like 8 of them out of 18.
More.
You saw more than 8?
Yeah. I think so. I got the tickets. If you want to check, we'll see.
Oh, we don't need to.
I got the tickets. I got the ticket stuff.
We don't throw anything out.
But anyway, no, it was really nice. And we brought a lot of friends there too.
Yeah, you did.
So that was kind of, a lot of our friends wanted to see it. It's not like we brought them. They wanted to see it. So, you know, and we wanted to see as many performances as possible, so that's what we did.
Well, because those my acting is not down here, so.
That's the last time we actually saw you in person, although we talked to you frequently on the phone, so that's nice.
Well, we have a very close, tight-knit family.
We certainly do, and I'm so happy about that.
Just
yeah, cool.
Anyway.
I mean, I thank you guys with all my heart, because, like, I mean, this podcast has been around almost 200 episodes. Or maybe a little bit more than that. I don't know when this is going to be released because this is, you know, it's a short one and I wanted it to be a short one. But, I mean, I felt like you guys are the biggest supporters of the podcast.
Well, thank you. We enjoy listening to you. We listen to most of them, if not all of them. And, you know, it gives us more insight into you as well. We learn stuff about you every now and then just from listening to your podcast.
Well, there's a lot to learn about me. I'm a complicated person.
You are.
What's something about me you learned from the podcast? How about that?
Oh, I don't remember. Actually, I can't. You're catching me off guard right now. I can't recall.
Which is possibly a good thing, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I just can't think.
Good.
I can't think
it was
right
something
now.
So yeah, I mean, like, is there anything like? So yeah, we had to take a little pause there for a second. But I mean, anything like that interesting that you've learned or about me?
About you? Well, I really can't think of a specific thing. I know every now and then something gets mentioned that's kind of interesting about you that we really didn't realize before, and nothing earth-shattering, but little bits about things that you like or things that you've done and so forth and so on. But
well, you know, I always know about my hatred of tomatoes.
Well you always hated tomatoes.
We knew that.
You always hated tomatoes, and
I almost ate one on stage for Never Have I Ever.
Oh, that would have been worse than the yogurt, right?
Yeah. Well, the yogurt wasn't that bad. It just was tough.
Yeah, I know. Well, 16 ounces of Greek yogurt is a lot for anybody.
Yeah.
I can't even eat it.
As far as I'm concerned, but that's beside the point.
But you know me, I like to push myself. If I'm going to do something weird, I'm going to do it weird.
I know.
I don't do it half-hog.
I got an idea for Never Have I Ever for you.
What?
And you're going to freak out when I tell you this.
Okay.
You're going to bring a professional dental hygienist in. She's going to clean your teeth on stage.
Fuck you.
Well, would that be something that you wouldn't want to do? You've done that though.
On stage.
No, but it's been done. But you just like, isn't Never Have I Ever for things that you've just never done
it
ever?
It could either be things you've never done on stage or never have done in life.
We could have your teeth cleaned on stage.
Probably not gonna happen. That sounds like a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. How much could it cost to get somebody after hours to do it? Give them like $50 to do it?
That sounds so unhygienic.
Well, you got excuses, I know, but I'm sure that they would bring all dental inspectors.
Okay, fine. How about this?
Yeah.
If there's a dental hygienist out there in New York City that wants to possibly clean my teeth on stage, email hgmpod@gmail.com. We'll talk about this.
They may like it.
Fuck you, Dad. Fuck you. You just can't have a really close relationship with my family. What are you doing, Mom? Oh, I know what you're doing. You're insane.
No.
I'm not going to say that. Don't worry. Okay, cool. Anyway. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we start wrapping this up?
Not really. I will tell people that I've got a an avid hobby of guitars. I used to play in a rock band years ago.
And they have a video. This thing is like something I'm really proud of for my dad and them. The band is called The Missing Links. They were a pretty popular band in Miami. I've talked about them before on this podcast before. I bring them up sometimes, but like they almost became a pretty big deal. And my dad put together a really cool reunion video, which is insane because one of the people lives in the West Coast now, and you know, they sound great.
Well, I appreciate that. I think you're prejudiced, but
it's on Vimeo, right?
It's on Vimeo.
Yeah, so you go on Vimeo, type in Missing Links.
Missing Links 40th Reunion. It's called The Missing Links 40th Reunion. You'll find it, but I haven't promoted it too much. Maybe I will. Mark says he likes it. He thought it was pretty good. I was a little embarrassed because, you can imagine, here's a group that we played regularly for about 12 years, and we hadn't played together in 40 years. 40 years. And we got together with about 2 hours of practice and did a few songs that we used to do years ago. And, you know, our voices changed. We didn't have much practice. There's a lot of things have changed, so I wasn't, you know, thrilled about the quality of the music, but I was very happy that we were able to get together and do it. We mostly did it for us, but if people would like to watch it, that's fine. And maybe I'll go ahead and
put it. I say you should promote it, honestly. I mean, like,
Mark's drums were used in the video.
All right, for those that don't know, I tried to do drums until I realized I have no rhythm, and my parents are very supportive of music and like of arts and stuff like that. And they bought me a nice little drum kit when I was like 12 or so.
Probably something like that. It was a nice Ludwig. It's actually worth some money today. A vintage Ludwig set from the 60s.
Oh, I know it was from the 60s. I thought it was like 80s or something like that. Wow.
No, it was a 60s set. It was an old set when we bought it. It was an old used set.
Because I remember it was like dirt cheap when you bought it.
It wasn't dirt cheap. It was several hundred dollars. I don't remember exactly. But the point is, it wasn't that collectible then. Now it's a desirable set of drums.
Well, that's good to know.
That's good to know, yeah.
And another thing I would like to say.
Yeah.
I love dogs, and if anyone wants a dog, the greatest dogs because I've grown up with different dogs throughout my life, and we have a greyhound now, and greyhounds are so different from other dogs.
They're the best, yeah.
They're just fantastic.
Yeah, dogs have always been like really prominent in our household.
But greyhounds are great.
We love all dogs. Greyhounds are unusual, though. If you thinking about adopting a dog, look for an ex-racing greyhound. I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. Let me think what else. Anything you guys are looking forward to? Well, you also, like, for those that don't know, my dad's a really amazing photographer. He still is a photographer. He does some really cool stuff, like a really talented advertising photographer. If you need a good photographer in the South Florida area, my dad is solid.
Well, thank you very much. I'll pay you after the show.
He'll travel, too, if it's enough money, probably.
I'll pay you for the plug after the show. Don't worry about it.
But, like, I mean, like, he's done a lot of amazing stuff. Like, Visual Impact is his company, and it's pretty.
I do.
How long have you been in business?
I've been doing it for over 40 years. I do photography for advertising primarily, so whether it be album covers. I did a really nice album cover for Dion.
The guy who sang
Run Around Sue,
yeah.
The Wanderer.
Yeah.
I did it a few years ago. And I got a funny story about that.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting. Here I am shooting Dion in the studio. This is probably about 12 years ago, I think, maybe even a little more. And Mom was there. And my makeup artist was there, you know, and we had some of his band members were there as well. Anyway, I was doing the cover shots. And well, the girl that was doing the makeup at the time was in her early 20s, I think. And she really didn't know much about him and, you know, didn't recognize his music or anything like that. So, you know, we said, oh, you know, he did Run Around Sue. He, you know, he did The Wanderer and a few other songs you mentioned. And she says, how does it go? And Barbara starts singing The Wanderer in front of Dion.
And
out of key, off key, and with the wrong words.
And
I said, Barbara, I looked at her and I said, Barbara, this is Dion. No, let her go. He says, I want to hear, you know. He goes like that. And it was really embarrassing, but he got a kick out of it. And actually, it turned out to be pretty funny. And, you know, but that's my wife. I love her. Anyway.
Oh, God. My parents are the most adorable parents in the world. I dare you to find another pair of parents who are more adorable than my parents.
Well, thank you. I'm sure everybody feels that way about their parents, but Anyway, thank you very much for having us on your show. I find it to be quite an honor and quite a surprise. I wasn't expecting this.
You really weren't. You're like, I've been looking at me while you talk.
I was not expecting this.
You're like scared still.
I was not expecting this at all.
Well, thank you. Any plugs?
The only plugs I have is if anybody needs any really high quality photography, whether it be, and I photograph a lot of different things. I photograph jewelry. I photograph food very well, beverages.
You still do virtual tours, right?
I do online virtual tours. Almost any type of advertising photography. I don't do any weddings. I don't do any bar mitzvahs or anything like that. Once in a while, if somebody needs something done as a favor for a party or something like that, I can help them out. But that's not really what I do. I do advertising photography, high quality, digital and film. I still do some film when it's required, up to 8x10, as a matter of fact, on film. So if anybody needs anything like that, you can contact me through Mark, and he'll give you.
And also the Bird Road Art Walk, you guys do like.
Oh yeah, we have the Bird Road Art Walk. My studio is located in a district called the Bird Road Art District, which is in Miami, and we have an art walk every month on the third Saturday of the month. As a matter of fact, it's going to be this coming. Well, the show will be over, but it's
in our timeline, it's this.
In our timeline, it's tomorrow night, and maybe Mark will be there. We'll see if he wants to come by and see what it's all about, but. Anyway, it's really an interesting art walk, and it's different from other art walks. And the reason it's different is because you get to meet the actual artists. It's not like going to a gallery walk where you just walk through galleries and see lots of work hanging. You actually get to see artists in their studio where they create the work. You can talk to the actual artists. Sometimes they're even actually doing work while you're there. We have a glass blower that's sometimes blowing glass. We have other artists that are painting. Sometimes they do different kinds of live demonstrations. But it's very interesting. It's a small art walk, relatively speaking, but it doesn't really matter because you get so interested in it, you wind up going to a couple of places and you'll spend the whole night just going to those few places, talking to the artists. It's very interesting. And so I've been doing it now for about 4.5 years, and this is our 5th anniversary coming up tomorrow night. It'll be the 5th year that we've been doing this.
So that's incredible.
We're very excited, yeah. We're very excited. So, yeah, if anybody's in Miami, well, like I said, it's too late for this one because when this...
But third Saturday of the month.
The third Saturday, every single month, you can count on it. Third Saturday. Bird Road Art Walk in Miami.
Cool.
And when I was younger and I was in college, I got my teaching degree in learning disabilities.
Yeah.
And I've worked with that, continuously. And I've had much success in it. I've had children skip grades after I was tutoring them.
Yeah, she does private tutoring, yeah.
And I still do private tutoring. And if anyone is interested...
In the South Florida area.
Please, get in touch with Mark.
And hcmpod@gmail.com.
Okay, and I'll be sure to contact you.
Mention that you heard about it on the show, and Barbara will give you a very good rate, too.
It's a really good rate, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. My plugs quickly, @MarkLeeV85, the Twitter and the Tumblr and the Instagram. If you want to email the show, hcmpod@gmail.com. And guys, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for doing this unexpected episode.
Thank you so much. We're very honored to be on your show, really. Thank you.
And I'll see you guys next time.
We love
That's
you.
The way to hit the mark. Bye.